Hi everyone, I'm Joel Gould and welcome to the new edition of NRL.com's Pearls Preview Pod. We're coming to you from the QRL studios in Brisbane and I'm here with Steve Renoff, our resident NRL.com expert. How are you going, Steve?
Yeah, good, Joel, thank you. Very excited after the first round. It was what we expected and probably a little bit more.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was good to see the footy started. We a couple of upsets and that's the thing with round one. You know, you just never know what you're going to get, and there was a couple of surprises in there.
There were, and we're going to preview the eight NRL games in round two. But first, Steve, I'd like to ask you what you thought of Wayne Bennett's first coaching effort against the Roosters for the Rabbitohs. You predicted in one of your columns that something special could well be brewing at South Sydney with Wayne inheriting this experienced roster, and one that he seems to already have had a played a big role in moulding into a very, very good side. And what we saw, a better side than last year.
Yeah, a better side. They're disciplined in their own right, but they I think he gave them a free rein in the way they play their footy, and that's typical Wayne. And he would have just. And it was mentioned in the paper during the week, you know, it's about that his KISS theory, you know, keep it simple, stupid. And that's Wayne, you know, it's that's a big thing he has. Go out there, play the footy that's in front of you. And they definitely did that, the Rabbits.
How important is it for a player to have just very concise and clear goals and for a game, rather than too much stuff in going around?
You can have too many instructions from your coach, I believe, and Wayne doesn't operate like that. We used to get three clear instructions per person, and they were your own personal things, what we thought, and we worked that out with him. So we worked on them every week, but that was three individual things. Not our structure around the way we played the game wasn't, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. We always had a game plan we could drop back to, but very, very simple game plan, really. And I think he early days with South, after the first game, he's done that with them.
Well, do you remember some of your instructions, or did they vary from time to time?
Yeah,
what were the main things he used to say to you?
Leg speed in tackle. With my leg speed, if I'm half breaking the tackle and I didn't have leg speed, you know, I relied on that to break a tackle or get through a hole. Sometimes I forgot about that. You know, I'd hit a defender and stop and virtually just get tackled. So one of those, and obviously my defence. I worked on my defence every week because we used to have clear positions, left side, right side and the middle. So we protected our area, and we actually ran our own competition in the team around every week. After a month, whoever was in front defensively with least amount of missed tackles, we had to shout them or something. So it was well done that we the rest had to shout them dinner.
Did you ever win that one?
Yeah, a couple of times. Johnsy used to hog an extra player on the other side of the field. He used to pull an extra one over, so we're always short. That was our excuse.
Now, that's very interesting, Steve, and I think you're right. Wayne's he's never been too big on a whole lot of jargon or anything like that. It's very simple, and I thought the way South Sydney played, and we'll come to that shortly when we look at what's coming up for them on Thursday night against the Dragons, because South had a very good win over the Roosters, 26-16. It was very impressive. So we've got the Dragons hosting the Rabbitohs on Thursday night. It's an important match for St George Illawarra after they were beaten 24-12 by the Cowboys. Far from disgraced. James Graham worked his butt off. Norman and Hunt going to take time to gel, I think, in the halves. And I'm not sure about Widdop at fullback at this stage of his career. What do you think Saints have got to get right in this game in particular?
Well, we got to look at the fact that they've lost Frizzell.
Talk to us about that.
That's a massive loss. When you have De Ballon obviously out indefinitely, then you go and lose a calibre player of Tyson Frizzell. That's a big hole to fill. We've seen what he's done in the past. You know, he's very mobile and he has a lot to do with their play. Talk about little efforts. He's one of those players who'll make that effort and break the line, and he does that time and time again. So he leads from the front, and he's very, very competitive. So, having two quality forwards out of your pack. This is going to make it a little bit tougher when you talk about the Haas and Hunt and Norman. It's going to be a little bit tougher again. I don't think they won't be long into the season, because I'll tell you what I think will happen in this game. I think Souths will dominate this game off the back of their first game, that there'll be that change around. I reckon you'll find Widdop back into 5-8 not too distant future.
Well, Blake Laurie comes into the side to replace Tyson Frizzell, who's got a nasty lacerated testicle, nasty injury, very nasty. And Josh Kerr's joining the interchange bench. But I really do like the look of this South Sydney forward pack. The way it's constructed, Sam Burgess has got a new lease of life, I think. I mean, he's always been a great player, but he just seems to be... listening to him and talk and watching him, his body language is fantastic at the moment, and he was outstanding. Actually, all the South Sydney forwards ran for over 100 metres. It wasn't just one of them. They worked in unison. It was
and see, that's another Wayne influence. He does a lot of work, and people, I don't think, ordinarily realise that. We might have talked about it last year, but his big thing is working with the forwards and get them playing as a pack. That was a thing he got really... he got right at the Broncos. He worked personally with the forward pack and have them working as a group for each other. And that happened the other night with the Rabbits. As you said, they all made over 100 metres, but they would have been hunting as a pack.
They were. And I was very impressed with Braden Burns at left centre. Greg moved over to the right side. He was a little bit quiet. I think it's going to take a while for him to get back into it. These big games will suit him, I think, playing against someone like the Rabbitohs.
But I tell you what, I was impressed with that Braden Burns too, Joel. I've seen he had good footwork and, he's a tall, streaky type of player, but he's good on his feet.
Very good, isn't he?
Yeah.
With Reynolds, there seems to be, just watching them, a bit, the shackles have come off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Anthony Seibold's more structured than Wayne, and I thought Adam Reynolds played what he saw. Beautiful short kicking. Yeah. When you look at Reynolds and Walker, and you look at Norman and Hunt, what do you see? What's the difference there? Say, for instance, the forwards cancel each other out. Say the Dragons match them. What do you think the halves, what's going to unfold there?
I've always been a fan of Reynolds. I like the way he plays his game. He's obviously, he's got a better kicking game if you go against his opposition of Ben Hunt. Ben Hunt still struggles, I believe, with his kicking game. And I think we underestimate the importance, and I think Brisbane still, to this day, after we'll talk about them, still underestimate the kicking game. It's nearly like it's gone out of our psyche. It's so important, and I think Adam Reynolds brings that to the Rabbits. And you know, some of his kicks, they got to mean something. They got to, you know, got to be a result, some sort of result. They're not just kicking it straight down the, you know, the throat of a defender. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of teams do. But I think Reynolds, the way he went about things, I just love it, and he reads the game and. But he works his forwards around. I think he drives his forwards around, which I think, St. George Haas probably don't quite have that there as well. So I think Adam Reynolds is a big difference between the halves.
Okay. So you're tipping who in this game?
I'm going to tip South. I love Walker. He's playing some good footy at the moment, you know, and... he's tough, you know. He might rab it off a bit, but, he does, and he's well known for it. But good on him. He gets under their skin, and it won't be hard. It's not hard to get under Corey Norman's skin, so he'll probably give him a gobful too.
Well, yes, he had a bit to say, Cody Walker, in that game against great rivals going back. You know, there's no probably great – well, there isn't any better rivalry as far as historically than the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. So it's to be expected, and I think we all enjoyed that bit of a tete, between Walker and Keary and Cronk. It was good to see. It was pretty harmless stuff.
and Mitchell. Latrell Mitchell, God, he was blabbing to everyone.
So he was, good. Well, you're only going to expect that, I guess, in such a game where there's so much feeling and history.
Yeah.
Which the players embrace, which is great. Okay, I'm tipping the Rabbitohs to win that game too, unfortunately. obviously I'm a Dragon supporter and I hope that doesn't happen, but I can't see St. George Illawarra winning that game. Friday night, we've got a very interesting contest here, and one that's, after their first round performance, the Raiders, been quite a few years, maybe 6 years since they'd kept a clean sheet, and they're hosting the Melbourne Storm, so 21-0. Yes. I was very impressed with the Canberra Raiders. I thought Jack Whiten was a success at 5'8". The performance of John Bateman at lock, the Englishman, outstanding performance. Jordan Rapinoe's been named in the side to come back early from injury, so there's a lot to like about the Raiders, and they're up against a Melbourne Storm side that was far too strong for the Broncos. The scoreline, 22-12, I don't think, reflects their dominance against Brisbane. Munster, unbelievable. Nelson, a sofa, Solomona, a beast of a thing.
Oh.
And Bromwich, another very good performance.
Joel, I forgot about some of their players and their size, their big three that they've got there in that pack. It's just, they just monstered the Broncos, to be honest. They really did the other night. And I think they learned a very quick lesson the other night, you know, about we just don't carry size. We don't have big men in our forward pack. And look, we've Brisbane survived on that in the past, but in this modern game, we need big bodies, and really we don't have it. And we got sorted out last week, and you know, when you first game of the season and a team like Melbourne come out and dish that out, it's like, crikey, you know, what do you do? They ran them ragged in that first half, and it was telling for the Brisbane Broncos.
Well, I think you're right, and this is where Papali, the starting props for Canberra, Papali and Dynamis Louis, are going to have to step up. This is going to be a lot tougher challenge for the Canberra Raiders than what they face against a flat Titans side, I thought. Even in the forwards, I wasn't that impressed with the Titans. But this is a talented forward pack that the Raiders have. Brilliantly led around the field by Josh Hodgson with his kicking game. Cameron Smith-esque. It's going to be a great battle, the battle between Hodgson and Smith in this game. We know who Smith's one of the greatest players we've seen, but Hodgson is an outstanding hooker.
Yeah, he is. And he, as you say, you know, he does plays a similar role for Canberra that Smith plays for Melbourne. But look, this is going to be, as you said, it's going to be a tough match, I think. Canberra will take it to them, especially after their first round win. But I still can't see, from what I saw out of both of the teams last week, just the way Melbourne went about their footy. It's just so professional, and it's just second to none.
It is. You can't go past the Melbourne Storm, can you, really? I mean, I think this is going to be a cracker of a game and very close. I just think Melbourne's got... you talk about size and strength. Their forwards look to me just like they might have the edge over Canberra. There's a lot of really talented footballers in the Canberra Raiders pack. There's some real footballers amongst it, and I'm sure Josh Papali is going to be up for this game. So close. It's going to be close. It's going to be interesting to watch Jack Whiten up against Cameron Munster.
Can I just say something about Cameron Munster? I watched him the other night. He just doesn't care who he's playing against or whatever. He just goes about on his merry way. He's very arrogant in his footy, which I think is great because he backs himself. But just his kicking and what he does, he just treats opposition with disdain, but it works for him.
Well, I don't think there's any self-doubt with Munster. I mean, I might be wrong.
No, he's not. There isn't.
But watching him, he just seems to not have those... he doesn't second-guess himself. He just seems to relish... It's a bit like Callum Ponga, only a different character, but he seems to relish responsibility, challenges, pressure.
He won't
be happy with his grand final performance last year, but I mean, look, he's already won a grand final and played well. That was a bit of a blip on the radar for Cameron, I think. And we're seeing, I think we've already seen that first game, the sort of season he may well have.
Yeah.
He could have a stunning,
season,
his best year yet.
Which will augur well for Queensland too.
Well, it will. It certainly will. Okay, that's the first game on Friday night. The next one, of course, is the blockbuster at Suncorp Stadium between the Broncos and the Cowboys. Just some team news on the Brisbane Broncos. Matt Lodge has been suspended, so Sean Fensom comes onto the bench. Tevita Pangai Jr. will start. David Fifita will also start. for the Broncos in the second row, and Jaden Sewer goes back to the bench. He was a bit underdone, I think, after coming back from an ankle injury in that game against the Melbourne Storm. And the Cowboys are unchanged.
What do you say about this one? It you know, they're sort of at opposite ends of the scale from their games from last week, and I think it's a good move to have Fifita and
Tavita
starting.
Yes,
I really believe that's a good move. I'm sort of a bit disappointed that he didn't. Because we all know what Tavita can bring to a team, and with his aggression, I think we really needed that at the start of the match last week.
He was very good when he came on, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had the most running meters. I mean, stats don't mean everything, but he I think Anthony Seibold wanted some really big involvement from Tavita, and he did provide that. So I think what he needs early against the Cowboys, don't you think, is to take on Cowboys.
Well, if anyone's going to take on Tomalolo, it'll be him. He does. He's another player who he respects his opposition, but he doesn't really care who he plays against. And you know, just in talking to him too, you know, and he's out there to do a job. And I think you'll see him line up. You know, it'll be a personal thing with him and Tomalolo, because he needs to be stopped. And if anyone's going to stop him in the middle, it'll be Tavita.
Well, I think it's key for the Broncos in this game. Chasing points like they did against the Melbourne Storm. I mean, the Melbourne Storm very rarely give up a lead, and the Broncos did well actually to hold them to what they did in the end. But the Cowboys, last time the Broncos played the Cowboys, Paul Green kept Jordan McLean and Jason Taumalolo back, and Broncos were ahead up in Townsville, and they just stormed home on the back of Taumalolo and McLean at the end of the game. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Broncos are going to need to be ahead at the 60th minute mark, and well ahead. So, but the other thing I think plays into this game is it's probably a good thing for Brisbane to be playing the Cowboys, because the way they play suits the Broncos. We've seen so many classics between these sides, but it seems to free the Broncos up. I can see Milford having more space. You know, even though the Cowboys are a dominant pack, a game at Suncorp Stadium between these two sides is often very quick, almost Origin-like pace. And I think that'll suit Brisbane better.
I think we'll get that on Friday night. And let's not forget the performance of Michael Morgan. Shed the shadow of Jonathan Thurston, and had a, you know, I think he's going to really shine this year as well. You know, taking on that number six role, and he had a great game.
Well, you said he would. You predicted that he would stand up and take on that mantle, and he certainly did everything you could possibly want in his first game without Thurston permanently now at the club. But he showed in 17 that he could do it, and he's showing it again that he can. It's going to be interesting, the matchup between it's Tamari Martin and Morgan up against Milford and Nikarima. I guess the Broncos will be wanting a pretty special game from Anthony in this game.
Well, they, you know, if
he's coming back from a shoulder,
he's coming back from a shoulder injury, but he's playing, so you got to rid that shoulder injury. You know, if you're in the team, you're fit to play. So he's just got to step up. I mean, they did cop, I think, unfairly. Our halves copped a bit of a pasting after the first game, but I didn't think they were that bad. But they really need to step up. Against the Cowboys.
Okay, you're tipping?
Look, I'm going to tip the Broncos because, you know, they come up against a red-hot Melbourne Storm. This is going to go down to the wire again, without a doubt. But it can go either way, but I've got to stick with my team, the Broncos.
Well, I'm going to tip the Broncos as well, and I just do think that... I do think that Anthony Milford's going to have a big game on Friday night. I've just got a feeling that he is. He's ready loose, and I feel as though the Broncos, that they, of all the teams they'd want to play at this point, I think the Cowboys is the right one for them. The Cowboys' back line is still a little bit underdone to me when it comes to strike. They've got Justin O'Neill and Nene McDonald, who played extremely well, I thought, against his old club on the weekend, last weekend. But I like the look of the Broncos' back line. And we saw a try they scored, a really nice right-to-left try.
Yeah.
When they got down into Melbourne's end, I think they'd love to do some more of that. And I just think they might have too much strike out wide for the Cowboys. So, but so long as they don't get manhandled.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I still think they need to be freed up a bit. There was one play in particular. You know, we finally got a bit of ball last week and we were down in the attack zone and we decided to grub it through on the third tackle. And I thought, oh, please. You know, it's you finally get the ball in your hand and I don't know whether that was obviously a set play, but they just need to play what was in front of them. That wasn't the right option.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we saw the best of the Broncos when the three playmakers and Darius Boyd came into the line.
Yeah.
And a lovely right-to-left play where Vunivalu, I think, came in when he shouldn't have done. And then, of course, Corey Oates was on his way. He was brilliant, Corey Oates.
He was Brisbane's best.
He was, wasn't he? He was superb. But that's the sort of thing I think that Seibold wants to see more of. But they've got to get in a position to put those players on, and they just simply weren't in it enough. Okay, so that's we're both tipping the Brisbane Broncos there in that game. It should be a cracker. Sharks hosting the Titans at Shark Park. Both sides off a loss. Cronulla, 14-8 loss to the Knights away. They weren't that flash. They weren't that bad. They're unchanged. The Titans, on the other hand, have got a real problem at the moment in their halves. Ash Taylor's still injured, so Riley Jacks joins AJ Brimson in the halves. Got Anthony Don coming in to start on the wing and Philip Sammy going back to the bench. But Tyrone Roberts also ruled out. Mm. I'm not quite sure yet for how many weeks, but he's on the
side. It'll be a few weeks.
A few weeks on the sideline. The Cronulla Sharks unchanged at Shark Park. Well, it's a big challenge for the Gold Coast.
It is. After last week, I think out of the two teams, you know, Cronulla's still got that bit of steel in them and they played some good footy but obviously went down. There was really not too much in that match, but I just can't see the Titans after that first-round performance bouncing back, especially with injuries to their, you know, both their halves that aren't there, and it's a totally new... I mean, they were lost when... you know, Roberts went off. So I just can't see the Gold Coast. You know, we all want them to do well, but I think you'll see that the Sharks down there are just going to be too hard to beat.
I think so. This is a big game too for Paul Gallen. He joins Andrew Ettinghausen on 328 games for the club. It's a remarkable record that Gallen has, a tribute to his longevity, that he's still going and still really contributing to the Cronulla Sharks. And what a great player ET was. You played against him, Steve.
Yeah, played with ET, and, you know, it was just an absolute legend and a good bloke. And, you know, well done to Paul Gallen, you know. As you just mentioned, Joel, where he plays in the front row and he still contributes to that team, he gives 100% every week. And, you know, I think congratulations and well done.
Well, I think it's one of the great moments of the grand final when Cronulla won came afterwards when those two guys were together.
Yeah.
And it meant so much to both of them. You could just see how much it meant as they embraced Paul Gallen.
I think that was the closest ET got to the trophy, I think.
Well, he got very close in...
97.
In 1997, he did. Peter Ryan.
Love you, Ed.
Peter Ryan sort of had a bit of a say in that 97 grand final. Not on Ettinghausen, but on Peachy with that tackle. I'll never forget that tackle. But Cronulla was in that game, weren't they?
Up
until midway through the second half. But great achievement for Gallen. I'm sure he'll be fired up in this game with Fifita and company. I thought Moylan went pretty well at fullback. Yeah. Like, he ran for 192 metres, was in a lot. Sean Johnson, it's going to take a while for him to gel with that team. Like the way he played at the Warriors, he's got a different style of a football team to play with. So we'll expect him to get better.
But they got the players there. As you say, this team will get better.
I'd like to see Shannon Boyd. What I really liked about Shannon Boyd in the trial against the Broncos, in that first 20 minutes, he sort of carried the Titans forward. And they played off the back of him. And Ryan James said to us at NRL.com in a story that one thing when he looked back at the Roosters pack of 13 when they won the premiership, the way that Sonny Bill, Moa, Warrior Hargraves, they all fed off each other. And he said, we at the Titans tend to be a little bit, one of us will play well, but we need to do that and follow follow Boyd. And they did that in the first 20 minutes against the Broncos in a trial game. But I thought Shannon Boyd was quiet against his old club, and he needs to have a big game here against the Sharks if they're going to get that momentum they need early.
Yeah, if it's not him, someone's got to step up and lead the way, and that's what happens with a good forward pack. You know, you've got to have a leader within that pack.
Who are you tipping here, Steve?
I'm going to go for the Sharkies. You know, very hard to beat. Down there, I believe. So, look, I'd really want the Titans to do well, but I just can't see them off the back of their first round game going down there and having a win. So, for me, the Sharks.
Oh, exactly, I'm with you. Okay, we move on to the Newcastle Knights, and they're hosting the Penrith Panthers on Saturday. The Knights off a 14-8 win. Clemmer, we spoke about this. Mm. This has been some of the best recruitment we've seen from any club in the off-season, the Newcastle Knights. They've got so many players. Jesse Ramien, it was a bit quiet, I thought, but he's a wonderful player. You'd love him, and the centre's so strong. The Ponga was okay in the halves. I prefer him at fullback personally, but there's obviously a reason why Nathan Brown's gone this way. He thinks it's better for the team. To have him in that playmaking role. So the Knights were good. They defensively, very, very good. They only had a penalty try scored against them, I think it was. So Panthers, big disappointment, I thought, against Parramatta in the loss. This is a match too where Ivan Cleary becomes the sixth Penrith coach to reach 100 games for the Penrith Panthers as a coach. What are you expecting to happen here?
Well, if I go off the back of watching both teams last week, I think with Newcastle, and they're at home, as we said, there's a couple of players that are there at the Knights that didn't probably play the potential. Ponga's one, Ramien. I'm going to tip the Knights here because I was disappointed in what Penrith, after everything they've been through, especially with the coaching dilemma and all that, and I just very, very disappointing, I thought, especially, they just got dominated, and I think Newcastle will get away with this one. I really do. That, you know, having the first up win, they players that didn't play the potential, they're going to come out even better, looking forward to it. Pierce, I'd love to see him, do a bit more. And I think he directs them around pretty good. So I'm back in the Knights.
Yes, I'll be tipping the Knights here as well. I was very disappointed in Penrith right across the park, really. I didn't think they offered much, especially their back line, much vaunted. Their forwards were okay, but their back line was well below par, I thought. They just did not seem to fire a shot in anger.
They didn't. And there's a few mistakes in kick returns, and they just had these mistakes in their game, which something they really got to look at going into the round two.
Mm. You know, I really like the look of this Newcastle side. I think that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. What we saw that was a gritty win. I just think there's a lot more in this team, and I'm just waiting to see. I'm waiting to see them really click, the Newcastle Knights. I've just got a feeling that they might in this game, and that'll be too much for Penrith unless they can turn their form around. Look, they're capable of it, but I'm tipping the Knights as well. Okay, we go to Manly versus the Roosters at Lotto Land.
Lotto Land.
which is, it's hard to call it that, but we've got to call it that apparently.
Oh, really? I can't say that word.
Lotto Land, I don't like it.
Oh, buddy. Jesus.
It's, the former Brookvale Oval.
That's it,
So the Manly Sea Eagles under Des Hasler, they were a disappointment, let's be honest, in that 26 loss to West. Tigers last week. But look, Dez has got a big job here. This is not the greatest roster Manly's ever fielded. It's certainly different to the one he last had there in 2011. That was a wonderful football team that he had then. Now, Kane Elgee's come out this week and said he needs to step up and be more assertive. Daly Cherry Evans has said he didn't blame Elgee, he blamed himself. He said, I could do so much better. It's tough without Tom Trbojevic. It's going to be even tougher without their best forward, their most powerful forward, certainly on the weekend, Adam Fanua Blake. Only ran for 200 metres and was very impressive, but he's suspended. So they're up against the Roosters side that's unchanged. Off the back of their game last week, you wouldn't think they would play that poorly again.
No, and that's right. But you know, the Roosters, you know, they're disappointed as well. So I think you'll see a different team from the Roosters side of things come out. And you know, I can't see Manly getting near this team, and it's going to be Roosters for me. I mean, they're just too probably dominant right across the park.
Yeah, any side that can have Angus Crichton on the bench,
yeah,
it's exactly. A very strong team. And look, that Roosters side was well below its best,
yeah,
against South Sydney. They really didn't play well, did they?
No, they'd be disappointed in that. And you know, I just, as you said, Joel, it's not the greatest roster that Manly have had in the past few years, and I just think they're lacking a bit at the moment. And Des Hasler's got a big job to do there, to get these boys up week to week, and I just can't see that happening this week at Lotto Land.
No, well, Marty Tapau's going to need a big game, I think, in the forwards. Curtis Siren and Jake Trbojevic, yeah. These guys have really got to aim up. You wouldn't expect anything less from Jake Trbojevic. Victor Radley's a player I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Seeing more of. I think that's going to be a great clash, those two lock forwards. They're real footballers, and this is what, I mean, for me, I always felt, I remember when Jake Trbojevic came on the scene, I did a story in Rugby League Week when it was still going with Terry Randall.
Yes.
And he said how much he loved watching Trbojevic. He was like a throwback to the,
yes,
to the 70s, and he loved the way, at that time in particular, he was tackling, getting right under the ball, and you'd expect Igor to say that. But that really excites me, Trbojevic and Radley. Look, we don't have matchups so much,
yeah,
in footy these days, but those two lock forwards, just watching them play against each other and what they bring to the table, I think that really excites me more than anything in this game.
Well, it does. Trbojevic brings, he's got every facet of the game covered. As you say, he's a true footy player, and I just love the toughness of Radley. You know, he's another player who's come on the scene and just you know, he doesn't care who he's playing against. He just rips in, and I love the way, you know, through last season, you know, he was saving, you know, chopping guys down on the line, just, you know, saving tries, just through his sheer dominance in his defence.
Tipping
the Roosters.
The Roosters, yeah, you can't go past them, can you? I'd love to see Manly really take it to them and make this a really close game, and it'd be good. And if anyone's, look, the thing that does excite me about Manly is that Des is there,
yeah,
and look, he belongs at Manly. That's,
yes,
that's his home, and I think if there's anyone that can get a Manly side that's probably not on paper at least strong as they have been certainly in the past, it's Des. So let's hope that happens,
yes,
for Manly supporters. We'll move on to the Bulldogs versus Eels game. That's our Sunday game on free-to-air television.
The old classic.
On. It's a classic, isn't it? The,
yeah,
history of this game.
Yeah.
Bulldogs versus Eels. Like when I was a young fella in the 80s, watching these two teams play each other, this was the game.
Oh,
it,
mate,
was
what
the game.
Well, guess what? I was watching all off-season with the classics, all the classics, and how many games were there in grand finals of the Bulldogs and the Eels that I got to watch over the break on Fox. So for me, this is just a classic match, and unfortunately, once again, I was very disappointed in the Dogs.
Well, everything you said about them, you've I think you, Canterbury fans are going to have an effigy of you, Steve, putting pins in a doll, I think, because you haven't been a big fan of theirs in recent years.
No.
But I must say, everything you said about them turned out to be the case. Their forwards were pretty dismal, yeah, against the Warriors. They lost 40-6. Their completions were good, but they offered nothing really in attack.
No.
Their completions were ahead of the Warriors for a long time. I don't have in front of me actually right now what it was, but it just shows you completions don't mean everything, do they, in a game?
Well, they should do, and that's probably their problem. So, yep, they had the completions, which is great from a team and a coach's point of view. That's great, but what on the back of that, there's no attack. There's just no creativity in the attack, and that's what's really letting them down. And that's what's been letting them down for a few years now. And I've said it time and time again, they just can't get that right. They need a, you know, I don't know, I'll go down and show the boys how to, you know, give them a bit of my expertise, but you know what I mean? But that's
an
what
out
you really
ball.
Need.
That's what you're after, Steve.
Yeah,
you want to see an
yeah.
outball from Kieran
yeah.
Foran to,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
to one of the centres.
Or okay. something, yeah. you know, changing the point of attack, you know, a few angles here and there. It's simple footy, but they fail to capitalise on that when they have, you know, possessions like that, well, you need to be putting points on the board.
Exactly. Well, I thought Aidan Tolman, I mean, he's a workaholic, but, I mean, he needs some help. He needs Dylan Napa to really aim up in this game, and it's a game. The Bulldogs have named an unchanged 17 in this game, but the Eels have got a lot of changes. Michael Jennings, who was fantastic against his old club last week, he's out with suspension. We've got Nathan Brown with a pec injury. Will Smith, broken arm. So we've got Josh Hoffman, the former Bronco, starting in the centres. That huge man, Junior Paulo, returning from injury at prop.
Well, they're
gonna Moroa's lock at lock. He was very good, Moroa, I thought. Very, very good for Parramatta. So there's a few changes in this Parramatta side. What I really liked, and we're going to have to talk about young Dylan Brown at 5'8", a wonderful debut, composed, and really liked Mitchell Moses. Played tough, didn't he?
He did, and, you know, he's not a big stature of a lad, but he did play tough, you know, and he got stung there, which we all thought was a broken arm, but he got a stinger, and he was the sheer fright on his face, but he got back up and he kept going, and he had a great game. I really did think he stepped up, and I was really impressed with him. You know, I thought, well, yeah, they got away to a good start, the Eels, but they just kept on with it,
and they didn't let up.
Brad Arthur had to be very, very happy with that performance, and I think it's been there. I mean, it's been promised, you know, not promised, but talked about that they're not that bad a team. But geez, they started well. I was very impressed with them.
And what I really like, I've always been a fan of this guy, Sean Lane. When he chimes into to the play, his great ability to offload the ball, and we saw one of those lead to a Michael Jennings try. I just think he offers something a little bit extra to Parramatta's forward pack, a good acquisition. And with Junior Paulo there back at the Eels, they've got a giant man who's going to be... It's going to be good to see him up against Dylan Napa, who I think Dylan's given an indication this week that he wasn't happy with his performance against the Warriors and he needs to be better. And let's face it, he does, because David Clemmer's gone, Napa's in. He's not the new Clemmer, so to speak, but he is the man filling the void.
Yeah, exactly.
And he needs to do that because he's an Origin player. And he needs to show that.
Yeah, exactly.
For Canterbury, they depend on big, tough men like him. They always have.
That's why they bought him. You know, so he's really got to step up. But look, I can't see out of two. I'm tipping the Eels. I really want them. They're another team I've probably got a bit of a soft spot for. That you know, great to see them have a good start to the season. I think they'll come in the round two and have another win.
I think so too, Steve. And I'll be tipping the Eels 100% to win that game. There's no doubt about that. Finally, round two, we've got at 6:10 p.m. On Sunday night, we've got the Campbelltown Stadium, the West Tigers hosting the Warriors. Now, here's two sides that coming off good wins. Robbie Farah was at Leichhardt Oval. Just
two meat pies.
What a great start for him to the season. That was great to see.
And
Benji Marshall. It's a great story, those two lads back together again. I do like Ryan Madison in the second row for the. He's a player I really like.
I think he's nephew of the Terry Madison, Bronco legend.
Very good player. The new coach, Michael Maguire, had these guys up last week, and this is going to be a cracker against a Warriors team. Well, how about Bunty Afoa? He was just phenomenal last week for the Warriors up front. He really did make a statement. Yeah. Early in the game, some of his charges, Ignatius Parsi. It's a very good forward pack when it fires, with Tohu Harris and Adam Blair there providing the experience. Steve, this has the makings of an absolute cracker with really good forwards. The halves, Marshall and Brooks, up against Adam Kieran, who's another great debut for a young fellow alongside Blake Green. Well, what do you make of this game? This is a hard one.
It is a hard one, and as you say, they're both coming off really good wins, and I think the only thing that will possibly split these two teams is the fact that it's, the Warriors are playing away from home. That might be a thing that might, you know, historically it's happened, but they did really well last year away from home.
They did, didn't they? They were very much
so included. You know, they obviously have worked on that, but I just think they both come out of their wins, even Stevens is... From what I saw from last week, I think the fact that you know, they're going to be at Campbelltown, I think the Tigers will just get home with this one.
Well, I'm tipping the Warriors to win this. I just think their back five of RTS, Fusatua, Hiku, Solomon Okada, and Kemba Mala, that is a devastating back five. I like their forwards.
Yeah.
I just think the halves worried me, but watching Kieran and Blake Green play together, it's going to work, I think, for the Warriors. I think they're going to do better than I thought they would this season, and I'm actually tipping the Warriors to come home and win this game.
As I said, it's going to be nothing in it between these two teams. You've got to give that Blake Green a rap too. You know, he's brought the other young half, Kieran, in. I think that shows, even when he was playing, he had a great season last year. It just shows how he handles himself and how he handles the team. And, you know, he's lost his partner. He's gone to Cronulla, so Johnson. So he's just adapted with a new player. So you got to give him a big rap.
Yeah, I think he's one of those halves that is the ultimate team man, Blake Green. He makes people around him better.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. Like, he's all about making the people around him look good. And I think he's the right man for Kieran to have alongside him to help him through this first season, which is a lot of pressure for a young guy coming in after Sean Johnson. That's not easy. So well done to him. I'm tipping the Warriors there. And that's the round completed, Steve. Thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, no worries, Joel. Looking forward to it. You know, great start last week, so looking forward to round two.
Okay, well, don't forget also there are other podcasts on NRL.com. We've got Fantasy on Tuesdays with Chris Kennedy and Dominic Brock. And on Thursdays with the Late Mail crew. Plus we've got The Broader Game with Katie Brown and Alicia Newton each Thursday morning. The Powwow with Sow Wow on Fridays. And the Sunday Session each night on Sunday with Chris Kennedy and Craig Wing wrapping up the round that was. So we'll talk again next week, Steve. Thanks to you and thanks for listening to us. Bye for now.